I'm Audrey Tracy.
And I'm Griffin. This is Selling on eBay, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace.
And the theme for this week's episode is Your Time is Money.
Or, time is the root of all evil.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Time is the root of all evil.
That's right.
How'd you get that?
Well, you've no doubt heard the phrase, money is the root of all evil.
Yes.
Well, if money is the root of all evil and time is also money, then by applying the transitive rule of mathematics, time is the root of all evil.
I think your logic's a little flawed there.
Really? Have you seen what time has done to some people? I won't name any names, but it's shocking. It's appalling. It's horrifying. And thus evil.
I sure hope you're not referring to me.
Okay, so what do you have for us this week to help illuminate the theme of Your Time is Money, Audrey?
Oh, dear. Well, Griff,
yeah.
You know how many sellers we meet that have absolutely no financial plan for their business?
Oh, sadly, I do know. Way too many.
So on the main story, I talked to eBay seller Joey Ruffalo, who is also a financial planner. Joey has some expert advice and insight into why a financial plan is absolutely critical for a seller's success. And exactly how a seller can get started down the road to financial security.
Mm.
What do you have, Griff?
Well, on the inside story, I converse with well-known eBay seller and educator Dana Crawford about how to increase the value of your time by streamlining your daily operations and tasks.
And we've also got The Buzz with Doug Smith. Mm. Alan is out this week.
And you and I talked to Jen Deal this week on What's Hot. Jen will share news of a brand new resource for sellers that'll help them year-round with planning their inventory buys.
And of course, your questions. We'll select an email sent to our inbox at sellingonebay@ebay.com.
Wow, that's chock-a-block. Sounds like a show.
Absolutely. Coming up first, The Buzz. Joining us now and filling in for Alan, live from lovely downtown Temecula, is Doug Smith with The Buzz.
Hey, Audrey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here. Thanks for filling in. Okay, Doug, what's the buzz this week? Wait a minute, I just thought of that. The buzz. What's the buzz? What's being buzzed about?
It's very buzzworthy. Let's start this week with a tax update. Iowa was the next state to start collecting internet sales tax starting on February 1st.
Okay, and what states are after that?
Connecticut will start on April 1st, then New Jersey on May 1st, then Alabama, Oklahoma, and Pennsylvania on July 1st. Those are all the states we know of so far.
Okay, two questions. Can you give us a high-level reminder of seller responsibilities when it comes to internet sales tax, and tell us where sellers can find more information?
Yes. When you sell on eBay, you're responsible for complying with all applicable tax laws. If you're selling to buyers outside the U.S., you should inform them about the potential import charges they'll need to pay when they receive their item. For the latest information, we have a taxes and import charges page that will stay updated. Look for the link to that in this week's podcast transcript. When you sell on eBay, you're responsible for complying with all applicable tax laws. If you're selling to buyers outside the U.S., you should inform them about the potential import charges they'll need to pay when they receive their item. I should say that that is for listings that don't use the global shipping program. If you're in the global shipping program, eBay takes care of those charges for you. So for the latest information, we have a taxes and import charges page that stays updated. Look for the link to that page in the podcast transcript for this week.
That's right, Doug. And we'll keep that page updated as more states come online. And as eBay collects internet sales tax on behalf of sellers, that's your one go-to page for all the information about that.
Now, I have a question for you, Audrey.
Okay, finally the tables turn.
Do you like elephants?
Hold on, wait a minute. I can't remember if I like elephants. Of course, yes, of course I do. Who doesn't?
Well, eBay loves them, but illegal wildlife traffickers don't.
Ah, we're talking about eBay's global ban on ivory sales on our platform.
Yes, eBay is continuing its fight to combat illegal wildlife trafficking online. We've partnered with the International Fund for Animal Welfare in honor of its 10-year anniversary on the global ban of ivory sales.
I know that over the past 2 years, we've blocked or removed over 100,000 listings for items prohibited under the Animal and Wildlife Products Policy. eBay was part of a panel at the most recent Illegal Wildlife Trade Conference in London, and eBay continues to engage with government officials around the world to advocate for a more comprehensive ban on the sales of products from endangered species such as ivory.
I'm proud of you. You've done your homework.
Well, you know, I have the wisdom of an elephant. What else this week, Doug?
Well, new year, new retail revival.
Retail Revival is eBay's now international program helping retailers stay local and grow globally.
Yes. Retail Revival has expanded to Canada, next going to Halifax, Nova Scotia. Halifax was selected because of its strong and diverse small business community and the potential growth opportunity.
So far we've had successful retail revival launches in Akron, Ohio, Lansing, Michigan, and Wolverhampton in the UK. That was during 2018. These cities have already helped the small businesses involved generate millions of dollars in sales and export to over 80 international markets.
And it's a great program. Well, Audrey, that's all the news that fits this week.
Thanks, Doug. See you next time. Coming up next, the main story.
Welcome to another edition of The Main Story. Today, we're going to chat with Dana Crawford, a.k.a. Power Selling Mom. Dana's a longtime eBay seller, educator, and an all-around eBay fan. Welcome, Dana.
Happy to be here.
Dana, how long have you been selling on eBay?
I've been selling about 22 years this year.
I hadn't realized you were on eBay for that long. You're an old-timer.
Well, I'd like to think I'm not old yet, Grandpa.
And what is it that you sell, Dana?
I sell a variety of items. I mostly do consignment, so I can sell anything from diamond rings to farm tractors to motorcycles, all kinds of things.
Is there any particular type of thing you will turn down based on value or size or weight or the item category?
I just try to I like my value of at least a minimum of $100 or more.
Yeah.
And lately, I've been getting such high-end items that I'm actually thinking about raising the bar on that.
Now, Dana, this segment's about how small businesses or small business owners can value their time. And what I mean by that is assigning an actual dollar value to time. Now, Dana, have you ever done that?
Yes, I have. And here's how I do it. You calculate your net profit for the month and divide that by the number of hours that you worked. For example, if you worked 120 hours in a month, that's 30 hours a week, and your profit for the month was $3,000, your hourly rate is $25 an hour. That's the value of your time.
Okay, that seems like a pretty easy calculation to make. Now that you know that number, for example, say I did this calculation and came up with that number, what can I do with that info?
This is a great way to help you make decisions and look at opportunity costs. So you're going to want to keep yourself focused on the high value, high skill tasks that keep your business moving forward and growing, which would be listing, marketing, and sourcing. To me, are high value activities, while shipping and photos are some of the lower value tasks. For instance, a trip to the post office is a low value task, and you could outsource it. Pay a teenager $10 to drop off your packages, or you could bring on some part-time help to do the lower value tasks. And that'll allow you to stay focused on the higher value tasks.
And what you use to determine the break point between low value and high value is how much you're going to be making or how much you need to make an hour.
Correct.
I can see that now. Going to the post office for me is fun, but it's definitely not a good use of my time. And I say it's fun because I like to get out of the house.
Oh.
So you take on consignment sales. Is that exclusively that you do consignment, or do you ever have your own stuff to sell?
Yes, I do source items. I treasure hunt for items now and then. But when I'm backed up, like right now, I have enough to keep me busy for a while. Mm-hmm. But when business slows down, then I will go out and hunt
for product for that you can sell.
Correct.
Yeah. When you take on consignment sales, how do you determine the value of the consignment service itself? So I know you mentioned about having a minimum value, but it's a different set of tasks if you're opening a business to accept consignments. How do you value that service?
Basically, you can use the same formula, only I have to keep in mind my percentage of each sale. The average consignment under 1,000 is 50-50 split, and then I pay the fees. However, 1,000 is up to 5,000 is 35%, and they pay the fees. With that said, it's important to keep these deductions in play while looking at the value of my time. So my numbers are a little bit trickier to manage at the end of the month, but I always have the bottom line that I have to sort out.
Does that formula change based on the volume of consignments that are coming in?
No, not really. It doesn't, not on the volume. It'll change based on the selling amount.
What about sellers that are just starting out and may not know the value of their time? I know you've just given us a really easy calculation. What about a new seller who this might be all very new?
Sure. Well, I would recommend as you're building your eBay business that you do the profit divided by hours exercise every month and track your results. Sales obviously vary from month to month, so you'll want to track to see that your hourly value is increasing, of course, every month. And if it's not increasing, then you can try to identify why and then, of course, adjust.
Well, wait a minute. So how do sellers increase their hourly value? I need to know. I want to be more valuable, Dana. How do I do that?
Well, there's a couple ways. So first, you could sell more expensive stuff. So assuming it takes roughly the same amount of time to list an expensive item and a cheap item, go with the expensive ones, of course. This means that you may want to look at your unlisted inventory and prioritize listing the most expensive stuff first. And then you could also list more or list faster. Can you list via sell similar or a template to cut down on listing time? Or if you are a one-of-a-kind seller, you can add an item with multiples. Make that one listing do more by selling multiples from it. Just a few. So get more efficient with all your tasks, but especially your lower value ones, so you can focus on those higher value ones. And lastly, think about outsourcing low value tasks.
Yeah, I find that that's usually the most difficult thing for a sole proprietor to consider because they have to delegate.
I'm good at delegating.
That's why you're a success and why I'm not a success. Because delegating is hard for me, but I'm learning. What about productivity tools? Now, I know the more efficient you get, the more valuable your time can be, but how can they help boost a business and make it run more efficiently? And do you have particular apps that you recommend?
Well, I can't live without the GoDaddy bookkeeping system. And that helps me not only manage my time, it helps me manage, of course, you can put in your hours. You can actually put in your mileage. So those trips to the post office, Griff, you could start putting the time that you left, you put in your miles, and it calculates your miles for the end of the year, figure into your taxes, and it's just a godsend in my book. I can't manage my business without it. And then on my consignment business, I can't survive without an app called the Easy Auction Tracker. And it keeps track of all of the individual clients that I have. I have about 28 right now. Mm-hmm. And it monitors all of their activity so that I know how to write their checks. I write checks the second week of every month, and it makes it real easy to do the math for me and have everything calculated.
And what was that second app again?
It's called the Easy Auction Tracker.
Easy Auction Tracker. Yes. Sounds like an interesting tool. I've never heard, I got to look it up.
Sure.
I may end up selling consignments someday.
Awesome. I'll put you on my list.
Oh, great. That's good to know. Any last bits of advice, Dan, on how sellers can boost the value of their time based on your own expertise?
Simplify, simplify, simplify. When I first started, I used to put the word simplify on a post-it note in front of my computer so that I would remember to keep doing that. And the point is, you want to evaluate each step and task throughout the day and take a step back to analyze ways to simplify each system, such as your shipping style, your camera, your photo taking, your listings. Look for ways, you know, that you can take a step back and go, wait a minute, I can simplify this system so that it's going to save me, even if it saves me 20 minutes out of the day, those 20 minutes in each system, each area, add up to save you time to make your profit higher at the end of the month.
Very good advice. Dana, before I let you go, I just have one more question. Will you be going to eBay Open this year?
Absolutely. I will be there.
So if you've never met Dana before and you want to kill two birds with one stone, and these are two really great birds, by the way, you want to make sure you go to eBay Open and look up Dana while you're there. Dana Crawford is a well-known figure in the eBay community. She's an eBay community Hall of Fame winner. She's helped numerous sellers over the years achieve success on eBay, and she's one of the most friendly and knowledgeable people you'll ever meet.
Thank you, Griff. I'm blushing. Thank you so much.
Dana,
such an honor.
It is my honor, and it's always a pleasure. I can't wait to see you in July. So take
Absolutely.
Care until then. Great success, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Dana Crawford about how sellers can determine the value of their time and that way make more money.
Coming up next, financial planning for eBay sellers. Welcome to Inside eBay, and in this segment, we want to welcome back Joey Ruffalo. If his name sounds familiar, he's an eBay seller who was on the podcast a few episodes ago talking about inventory, and now he's back to share some advice on a topic that is near and dear to his heart, financial planning. Welcome, Joey.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
So tell us about your background in financial planning. How did you get started?
Well, back in 2008, 2009, my wife and I, we run a small business up in the Bay Area. And we were hit pretty hard by the financial crisis. And we lost a bunch of our income. We almost faced bankruptcy. And during that time, when we pulled ourselves out, I realized that I needed to help other people who were in the same situation I was, kind of lead them through and make them feel like they're not alone in the situation, because we felt alone and scared. And at that point, I decided to focus a career change into financial planning. And I went ahead and I got a bunch of different degrees and certifications in financial planning. I have my MBA in financial planning, a bunch of different letters after my name. And basically right now I'm a financial coach working in financial planning. And when I was finishing up my master's, we decided to focus on different niches for different students. And because I was selling on eBay at the time, I wanted to kind of focus in that realm, because there's a lot of misinformation out there regarding financial planning. It's a topic that's not talked about a lot in the different groups. And if it is, if you have a 30,000 group, you get 30,000 different answers. Kind of just wanted to focus in and just have the right answers out there.
So you're a financial planner, but you kind of specialize in eBay sellers.
Correct. Yes.
Small business owners are often so busy running their businesses that they don't stop to do financial planning. What should sellers be thinking about when it comes to that?
It's important to know that 71% of businesses fail in the first 10 years. However, in the e-commerce world, that number is 65% in the first 18 months. And about 90% in the first 5 years. So having a business plan and a financial plan is very important. Failing to plan is planning to fail. So financial planning plays a huge role in your business. You should be thinking about goals in short, middle, and long-term sense. So short-term is anything under 3 years, where you want to be next year, a vacation you want to plan soon, anything like that. Middle goals are about 3 to 7 years. Those are a little bit further out. And then long-term goals are 7 to 10 years. So you have a little bit more time to plan for those. Where you want to be, what do you want to accomplish? Another important aspect is having a team around you to help realize and navigate you towards those goals. What I refer to as a council of elders. Mm-hmm. You need your council of elders, right? So that's a CPA, that's an attorney, that's a financial planner, people in various walks of life around you that you can refer to and you can confer with if you have simple questions about your business. And those people will know how to work together. So your CPA knows how to work with your attorney, your financial planner knows how to work with all of them, basically.
That's great. Now, we're going to go through some aspects of financial planning, and we're going to start with risk management, which is kind of a scary term. What does that mean, and how can sellers protect themselves?
So risk management is essentially insurance. Mm-hmm. It's a way to manage risk and how to protect yourself. When we purchase insurance, we're transferring risk from us to the insurance carrier. So you're getting that risk off of you. And that's how much you pay is how much risk you're willing to absorb yourself, or how much risk you want the insurance company to absorb. So if you're self-employed without a full-time job with benefits, then you need to have health insurance first and foremost.
Yep.
Some people who work part-time, they have a full-time job somewhere else, their health insurance is furnished there, that's fine. But if you're not and you're doing it on your own, health insurance first and foremost. You also need auto insurance. If you're conducting business with your car, such as driving your packages to the post office or to and from the thrift store, you're acting in a commercial manner. So essentially, you need commercial insurance on your automobile. But check with your auto insurance carrier on what your limits might be. Another area is homeowners and renters insurance. There's tons of posts online about people who lost all their inventory in floods, fires, theft. And people just don't know what to do. You have to understand that most homeowners insurance policies only cover up a small amount, usually up to about $3,000 of inventory. We all know we have way more than that in inventory. So we want to make sure that we have enough coverage. So you may need to add an additional rider to your homeowners insurance policy to cover your inventory.
So what that means is you could have your standard homeowners insurance, and then a rider is some extra coverage specifically for your business. Is
Correct.
That accurate?
Correct.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it's one of those things you talk to your homeowners insurance company about adding on. You may have to put detailed lists together and stuff like that, but
you probably want to know the value of your inventory.
Correct. Yeah, that's for sure. Another part of that that's interesting is having the right limits in place for your homeowner's insurance coverage in general, your liability coverage. Because if you have workers come to your home to work in your home, either if they're independent contractors or part-time employees or whatever, if they get hurt in your home, your dog bites them, they get a paper cut, they fall and get hurt, you're liable for that. So you want to make sure you have the right coverage in place. And the last little thing, too, is for people who sell either online through eBay or other areas, if they sell homemade items, you want to make sure you have some sort of product liability insurance in place, too, for that item. Because if somebody gets hurt using your item, they can come after you. And you just want to make sure you have coverage in place. The best thing with risk management is you don't want any risk, so pay for the coverage.
Right. Transfer that risk to the carrier.
Exactly.
And so the call to action here is, of course, go talk to your insurance agent and figure out exactly what you need. Joey has highlighted some areas you might want to look at, but talk to your agent to get the full coverage and the full quote.
Yeah, exactly. What's right for you and your business and your plan.
So how can sellers determine the right amount of coverage?
All right. So again, we said a little bit earlier, we said it's the amount you pay is the amount of risk that you can afford to take and cover yourself. Now, if you're a self-made millionaire, you may not need high deductibles and high liability limits because you are self-insured.
Right.
We're just all starting out. We need higher limits. So you're going to pay a little bit more for insurance to not pay more out of pocket.
Right.
Again, for me personally, on my auto insurance, I keep a high deductible on my collision and comprehensive. That keeps my costs down.
Mm-hmm.
If I get into an accident, I just pay my higher deductible, but I save monthly on my insurance. I can absorb more risk. Same thing on your homeowners and your renter's insurance or anything else.
Now, what about life insurance?
Life insurance is important, especially if you're self-employed. You have a family. You want to leave something behind if something should happen to you. All right, there's definitely two kinds of life insurance. There's a whole life and term life. The whole life is basically just a policy you pay for. It's got a cash value in there, and you get something at the end. It covers your whole life. Term life, it covers a certain term, so a 15-year term. Mm-hmm. You're covered for that 15 years. The main caveat with term life insurance is it does end after a certain time. It is cheaper to purchase, and you can purchase more of it. So you can get a $500,000 15-year policy for a lot cheaper than a $50,000 whole life policy.
Mm-hmm.
What that allows you to do in a successful strategy is during the time frame. So let's just say, for example, a whole life policy costs you $100 a month, and a term life costs you $50 a month. Take that extra $50 difference that you allocated for life insurance, put it into a mutual fund account or a stock account, have it grow during the time of your term. When your term ends, now you have money set aside for your insurance. You've basically self-insured yourself.
Right, right. Very clever.
That's the way to work it. What you want to have for life insurance, for especially for term, is you want to have something that's about 10 to 12 times your income and about 15 or 20 year level. So essentially what would happen then is if you should pass away, your spouse or significant other would get the amount during that frame. And because it was 10 to 12 times your income, if they invested into correct and proper stocks and mutual funds, they could earn about that back in interest, which allows them to just live off the interest.
Another part of financial planning is cash flow. Do you have any tips for managing cash flow for eBay sellers?
Okay, so what I suggest for my clients when they're first starting out, and I suggest eBay as a way for them to get more income into their life, is to start with things around their home. It's essential. You don't need to go out and buy anything right away. Just start with things you have. Use that as your play money, your fun money, your way to build your acumen with eBay, essentially. If you sell shirts and stuff around your house, you know those items. You know where those blemishes are. You know where those rips are, those stains are in the coffee cup or whatever. More easy for you to describe that when you're listing and not make a mistake than to go out and buy something and not know how to describe it correctly, which could either lead to a return or lead to you selling the item less than you like and leaving money on the table.
Right.
So start out with things you know. Build up some money that way that then will allow you to take some profit from that to go out and then buy some other stuff.
Right. I often see sellers starting off and I'm just going to play with dumb numbers here. They sell $50 worth of items and then they reinvest that 50. It just keeps building off of a very small initial amount of money.
Yeah. So we started with nothing. We just put stuff around our house, put it in there, and we used part of that to buy our next purchases and next purchases. But what I suggest for new sellers is what I refer to as the 25, 25, 25, 25 method. So 25, 4, right? So that's basically put 25% of your sale price that you got for the item away for taxes. You got to pay taxes. Put 25% away for eBay fees. That covers store fees, returns, anything else, promo fees, whatever you have to cover. 25% to replace inventory with, and 25% as a slush fund to replace equipment such as new lights, camera, printer, etc. This last part of the 25% you can use towards things like going to eBay Open, courses to improve yourself, sort of like you're investing in yourself part. And then you can adjust these fees over time. It's not something to be holden to because taxes ranges will change. You're not going to have a 25% category 4 fees all the time. Once you kind of get your fees locked down and you know exactly where you're going, you can adjust that down. You may hire some people later on. You may need another category for that.
Right.
By all means, adjust it. But have a plan in place. That's the most important thing, is to have a plan. If I can stress anything, just have a plan.
So another aspect is, of course, taxes you just mentioned. How can sellers set themselves up for easier tax prep?
First and foremost, I'm not a CPA or a qualified tax advisor to give tax advice. I have a hard time doing it myself. I usually wait till the 14th of April, in all honesty, and I'm on TurboTax just clamping away all night. The best thing is just keep all your paperwork. Keep diligent notes. Use tax. There's apps for mileage.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're driving to and from the different stores and stuff, keep track of your mileage because there's deductions for that. Keep track of your home office expense deductions that you might need. Anything you might have purchased in the last year. Keep track of all that. Keep all your receipts. Those are important for your accountant. They'll love you for it.
Yeah, no kidding. And are you the guy that shows up with a shoebox full of receipts? Oh, no, you use TurboTax, right?
I use, yeah.
Okay, never mind.
I don't show up anywhere.
But don't be that seller. Don't
show up. I show up to my dining room table with a box of receipts.
There we go. Don't be that seller that shows up to the accountant with a shoebox full of receipts and says, you figure it out. You said the main goal of a CPA should be tax avoidance. This is legal, but tax evasion is illegal.
Correct. Your goal is to pay as little to no taxes as possible. This is an American right.
Okay, now what about retirement? What's the best way for small business owners to save and plan for retirement, and especially estate planning too?
Okay, so retirement is one of those areas that doesn't really get talked about online a lot, but I definitely see it as a huge area that of need. eBay and selling on eBay is great. I love it, but I don't want to have to do it as part of my retirement plan. I want to do it,
right?
But not have to do it. So I don't want to have to rely on somebody in Texas buying a t-shirt so I can buy my medication this month. I want to be able to use that money that's coming in as fund money or to supplement my retirement, not be the sole source of retirement.
Right.
So I understand the need right now for comprehensive retirement planning, especially for the younger sellers, to put some money aside so when they are older or if the marketplace changes and e-commerce changes all the time, they have some money set aside for retirement. The important thing for retirement is you need to understand your retirement needs. How many years are is your working lifespan?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how many years you have to save for retirement. How long do you plan to be retired for? How long do you plan to live in retirement? That will determine how much you need at the start of retirement, so then you know how much you need to exhaust by the end of your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to leave money behind, that has to be factored in as well. So you don't drain down to zero. You may only want to drain down to 500,000 or 100,000 or whatever you want to leave behind. So you have to factor all that in, because once retirement starts, your income decreases. So you have less money to contribute to your retirement. So you need to then live off of what's there. So you use your working life right now. It's called your working life expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
I expect to work till 60. In my retirement life expectancy, I expect to live from 65 to 90.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 25 or 35 years of retirement life that that money has to stand for. Your financial planner, your investment advisor will be able to determine that need for you based on your current financial situation and what you need. And then they'll figure out the numbers, and then you'll figure out what to save.
Once you figure out that number, then you can start setting up some accounts. What are some of these saving mechanisms that sellers can use?
Okay, so we're in a unique situation that we're self-employed and
exactly.
We have a business. So we can take advantage of the business plans as an owner. One plan is a SEP IRA. So it's a simplified employee pension plan. Any business owner with one or more employees or anyone with freelance income can open this up. It gives you tax-deductible contributions. So again, that helps you decrease your tax burden that we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It helps get that tax bill down because you can then put it into your retirement account. The only drawback for this plan is if you have an employee, you have to offer them the same plan and the same percentage. So if you want to put in 15% for yourself, you got to put in 15% for your employee. That could cut into your cost a lot. There is a limit. You can only put into up to 25% of your total compensation, up to $55,000. I think it just went up to $56,000 this year, 2019. But you can combine that with your traditional Roth or an IRA to stash more money away.
Can you contribute to that monthly, or do you do one big lump at the end of the year?
You can do either, but I would suggest monthly, because at the end of the year, it's a lot to come up with.
Exactly.
Yeah. So monthly or even weekly, or as much as you want to build it into your budget, that's when you can do that.
Now, what about a self-employed 401k? Is there such a thing?
There is. It's for business owners with no employees. Again, it's similar to the SEP, but there is rules on that, because the IRS says you can't contribute to a solo 401k if you have employees, but you can contribute to one for you and your spouse. Your spouse is kind of like your co-owner of your business regardless. So you can do both.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm self-employed, I can contribute to myself and my wife in the same business. There are two types of 401ks. There's a traditional and a Roth. If you have the option to do a Roth, I suggest that.
Mm-hmm.
The differences are, traditional is your contributions are made pre-tax. So you pay less tax now, but your distributions are taxed later. So as you build income and you move up a tax bracket, when you start building that money out, and we don't know where taxes are going,
right,
you're going to be taxed possibly at a higher tax bracket later on. With a Roth, you're taxed on the money now, but not later. All that growth is tax-free. You just tax on your contributions now.
That seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
When you're setting these businesses up or these retirement plans up, you have to make sure you have an EIN, which is an employee identification number through the IRS. It's very simple to use. It's very simple to get.
Isn't that like a social security number for your business?
Exactly.
Okay. Got it.
Exactly. And for most parts, if you're a sole proprietor, you can just use your own social security number. But if you have several different businesses, you might want to get a separate EIN for that. And if it's just you, you need one EIN number. You can only get one EIN number for all your businesses. So if you're running an eBay business and a separate Etsy store and a separate Uber account that you drive for, they all use that same EIN. So you can funnel all your business transactions into one space.
We're about to wrap up. Anything else, Joey? Any last bits of advice for sellers as they think about financial planning?
I think the best thing to do is just make sure you have a plan. Not every plan is one size fits all. It's right. all customized. So what works for you, what works for me, may not work for Griff. Works for Griff, definitely doesn't work for everybody else.
I'm over here.
So definitely have a plan. Speak with a professional. Sit down. It's, you know, for me, I offer free consultation. Try to find somebody that's a free consultation. Talk to them. Even if you spend an hour in a session with somebody just to get your head clear on a point or a topic, that's the best thing you can do. That's all I can really say.
That's great.
Just make sure you have somebody, like I said earlier, have those people around you and find somebody you can trust, somebody that has the heart of a teacher that can teach you these things as opposed to selling them to you, and you're golden.
Get your tribal... What'd you call them?
Your Council of Elders.
Council of Elders. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Joey. This has been great advice about a topic that I think lots of folks don't really think about.
Thanks. Happy to help.
Okay. We've been speaking with Joey Ruffalo, a professional financial planner and eBay seller. Up next, what's hot? I'm Audrey, and this is What's Hot for episode 26. With me is my coworker, Jen Deal. We're here to discuss seasonality, aka the retail phenomenon of changing demand based on the season. Welcome, Jen. Hi.
Hi. Excited to be here.
Okay.
So now don't forget me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, Griff's here.
They always forget me.
Oh, sorry, Griff. Hey, Griff.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh,
so I'm the engineer, but I'll pipe in.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
We want you to jump in with
little bon mots and witty sisms.
Exactly.
You got it, babe.
All right. Yeah. Here we go. Okay. So, Jen, what sort of seasonality do we see on eBay? What categories have high seasonality?
Well, you actually gave away a clue.
Oops.
Audrey. Yep. Categories and subcategories have different seasonality. I think everyone probably knows that. But for example, in the sporting goods category, winter gear is hot now, but in a few months, that'll switch to golf, baseball, move into water sports for summer, that sort of thing. And the great thing about our marketplace is that something is peaking all the time. But for each seller on the site, that seasonality may vary. Even in Q4, when we focus on holiday, there may be a lift among most categories, meaning there's an increase in sales among most categories. But not everyone would actually recognize that sales during the holiday season is actually their number one peak season.
Like if you sell tractors on eBay.
Right.
People probably aren't driving those.
So can I ask a question?
Of course.
Jen, if you're a seller, how can you balance out seasonality in your business?
Well, I'd simplify it in two ways. First, you can develop an inventory mix that evolves with some or all of the seasons. Hmm. Sticking with my original example, you may be a broad sporting goods seller that changes your inventory levels to match the seasons. Or the second way to balance out seasonality is to actually plan for it.
Can you elaborate on planning for it?
I can do that. Let's think about planning for big retail seasons. And I'm going to change the product example.
Okay.
And let's talk about back to school and laptops. So first, you want to consider the kind of inventory you have, the price points, and the quantities. In peak seasons, it's more competitive, so pricing strategies should also be part of your plan. And since back to school is the second largest season in the retail industry, that's something to take into consideration. Laptops happen to be a product that sells all year round, but the buyer behavior during back to school season and also something like Black Friday is going to make them think about laptops a little bit more when they think about the student they're sending off to college or maybe investing in new technology for the household. So you want to take advantage of that as a seller. But then keep in mind pricing, what you actually have in stock, and how you want to move that. Let's break that down a different way. Still using laptops as our examples, buyers might be purchasing laptops for graduates as early as May or as late as September.
Yes. Oh, I never even thought about graduates.
Yeah. And so that opportunity for the so-called back-to-school season has suddenly become a very long period of time, right? That's almost half the year. So depending on how you plan for this season as a laptop seller, you'll still see peak sales if you go for the whole thing, but it may look more like the Appalachian Mountains than the Rockies.
Meaning you might have smaller peaks, but many of them versus one large peak like the Rockies.
That's right. That's right.
All right. I get it. I get your analogy.
I'm sorry. I'm still stuck in the Rockies. Can I phone this in? I'm skiing right now.
Looking for callers. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so if the majority of back-to-school shoppers are buying basic college laptops, you might consider listing and promoting mid-range, like $500 to $800 laptops in May and August, right? Because you're then taking care of people looking for laptops as grad gifts Or you're taking care of people that are shipping their kids off to school right before they go.
And we should note here that we're talking about retailers who might have laptops as their product line.
That's right.
But if you're a consumer seller or if you're a regular seller who doesn't normally sell laptops, but you have one to sell, the action's not closed to you. So these peak buying periods are still a good time to put that laptop up for sale.
Absolutely.
Yep, that
makes
sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, if you are that laptop retailer or not, maybe you're even a consumer seller and you have something more expensive, like a higher price point laptop.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily want to compete or think that you're going to sell as well as those average price points, because higher price laptops are going to sell when people have actually a little bit more money or are looking for promotions and sales or know when those types of laptops are going to be available, so they have options. And so that might be in September or November, or actually in March, April, May, because when people get their tax refunds.
Yes, right. I was just thinking about tax refunds.
Which could be a little delayed this year.
Yes, unfortunately, but it's a big shopping season.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, and so as I was saying earlier, there is seasonality all year round in a marketplace like this.
Yep. So if you're a small business seller on eBay and you sell a category like used fashion, how should you be thinking about seasonality?
It's very similar, actually. You're going to think about what's in season. That's going to be what people are shopping for. Or right before summer, for example, you're going to be looking for your summer gear so you can go out ready when the first day of summer is or when you're on vacation.
Right.
It's the coldest in recorded history right now in the Midwest, right?
So don't be listing your bikinis right now. Be listing your winter coats.
So swimwear could be aspirational.
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of folks do take tropical vacations during the winter.
That's true.
And I see sellers talking about selling swimwear year-round.
Right.
So yeah, maybe that's a bad example for seasonality.
It isn't necessarily, Audrey, because remember, if it's your core stock or if it's something you always have, you can sell it all year-round. It's just how do you sell it and when do you expect to have the most inventory in? So, for example, if I'm a small business seller, I have large shipments of bikinis, I've got to get rid of them at some point. And so I'm going to lean into the times. First of all, make sure all your listings are up.
Yep.
And then maybe I set up a promotion, you know, or I do a bundle, because I don't know about you, but I have more swimsuits and swimwear than any one person really should need.
Yeah. But I like a lot of bathing suits.
Yeah. I like a lot of options when I go on vacation. And so.
How about you, Griff? Do you have a lot of swimwear?
What is this word vacation you speak of?
Okay, well.
You lost me there. But anyway, I understand.
Yeah. So, you know, it isn't unheard of someone buying two or three bikinis at the same time. And you can put that on promotion maybe during summer, but you can still sell your regular stuff all year round. And actually, FYI, knowing things about seasonality and what's happening in the world, to your point, Griff, about listening to the news, is important. Did you know that February is a big cruising season?
You mean like cruise ships?
Cruise ships.
Yes.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you're selling swimwear, maybe February is your month.
Or if you sell Dramamine, this is definitely the month. Or those little wristbands. See, I'm all about the nausea. That's why I don't get on boats. But that's a subject for another podcast.
We're going off topic. Okay, let's bring it back to seasonality.
Yeah.
So how can eBay help sellers with seasonality?
So we do try to help because, again, we're a marketplace. We see seasonality, but not necessarily like the Rockies, more like the Appalachians, right?
Right.
Except for that Q4 season. But again, looking at all the small businesses we have across categories, we do want to be helpful to you. So we have just launched the seasonal playbook.
Tell us more.
At www.ebay.com/seasonalplaybook. We have posted a calendar with seasonality and a lot of resources there to talk about how to plan for this. So let me go through that a little bit if I have a minute. You might know we publish every year for the last few years a holiday playbook, and it was very specific to those last 3 months of the year. This calendar is meant to help you all year round. What we do at the beginning of it is actually give you some retail seasons in each of the selling seasons, and we actually tell you the planning period and the selling period.
So I got a preview of the page, and I love that it tells sellers when you should be planning this inventory and then when you should bring it to the market.
Planning calendar for inventory.
Exactly.
Oh, I like that.
Exactly. It's directional. It's a little bit of guidance. I expect many of our small businesses know this very well for themselves, but if you don't, or if you're broadening your business, or if you need a little refresher and a reminder,
to go into another category.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like if you sell calendars, the best time to sell them on the calendar would be November and December.
Mm-hmm. That's so meta.
I'm clever.
A calendar about selling calendars.
Yes.
I just had a podcast inception.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, I'm lost. Where are we? Is this your dream or my dream?
Okay, so getting back to the seasonal playbook, we give sellers guidance on what sort of inventory will be hot and kind of when to plan for it and then when to bring it to the market.
That's right. So there's a calendar there. There's also planning ahead. And so we give you the reminders and the tips of things to do, like optimizing for mobile, using the calculators that we have to figure out return costs, shipping costs, how to optimize your listings, setting up a store if you don't have one. We actually also give you tips on what to do when you're in the season, right? So how to manage your operations while the peaks are happening, how to boost your items visibility with promoted listings. And then post sale, we actually also tell you what to do all the way through this thing. So after you do the sale, we say, hey, you know, you should be using eBay labels because, by the way, we still give you a discount on those eBay labels. Let's see, the 27th has passed, so all of the carrier rates are officially in place for 2019.
I got to go change my listings.
Yeah.
I changed mine.
At least take a look at them. But, you know, eBay is still offering an additional discount on those eBay labels.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
And then you can always just, you know, we always remind you and give you this page as a starting point to be inspired, listening to the podcast, what you're doing, engaging with other sellers in the community, and staying current with eBay news. Now, the awesome thing about this playbook is that it is a printable PDF up front and functions like a checklist. And if you don't like this format, we give you two checklists specific to whether you're a newer seller or a seasoned one.
Cool.
So we tried to make this really user-friendly. I'd love to hear feedback from the sellers.
Is there an opportunity to give feedback on that page?
There's a quick opportunity. You can give us a thumbs up.
There we go.
Or thumbs down. And you can leave a comment. So yes, there is.
There we go.
That's pretty good feedback leaving.
Yeah. So please
let us know. It's like the Coliseum. Right. Throw them to the lions. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah. So please give us the feedback. It'd be great because we have not done this before. But the way we built this page was based on feedback that we've had in the past on the playbook.
And repeat the URL. Where can you find this?
It's www.ebay.com/seasonal-playbook.
Pretty cool. Hey, before we go, Jen.
Yes.
What other resources do you have to outline for sellers?
To help with seasonality? Well, in addition to the playbook, we are publishing sourcing guidance for certain retail moments in depth in our Seller Digest. You get that every month. So take a look at that. There's always a module in there about the inventory that we're recommending based on how buyers are searching, by the way. This isn't me just randomly. No, it's not even me. But, you know, we are looking at buyers.
We're not guessing here.
Yeah, we're not guessing. We look at data and we're compiling that for you. And we send out targeted emails as well. So you might have seen some of those just depending on the categories that are relevant. And then in this podcast, we always have this What's Hot segment.
Yeah, baby.
And you can also do your own research with Terapeak, which is an eBay company, or you can look in the growth tab in Seller Hub, and there are seasonality slides in there too that'll help you figure out what works for you.
Well, there we go.
It's a lot of resources.
Yeah.
But they're only good if you take advantage of them.
If you look at them.
So you got to go check them out.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Jen. Great information, and thanks for stopping by. Let's do that URL one more time.
www.ebay.com/seasonal-playbook.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Jen Deal from the Seller Marketing Team about the new seasonal playbook. Stay tuned for more.
Hey, Audrey, guess what?
What, Chris?
We received an email this week.
Yay. Ooh, yay. Excellent. Let's read it.
Well, why don't you read it? Because I like your voice better. Here.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Okay, I got it. Here we go. This is from Amy. Yeah. She sells under the username AmyESK02.
Okay.
Amy says, hi there. I'm new to eBay and even newer to your podcast and thrilled to say I love eBay and your show. Aw, thanks, Amy. I do have a concern question about the search functionality, specifically about one item I have listed. I am selling a hat with the words Yukon Men written on the front. I was a producer on the show and was given this hat when I worked there. It was for staff and cast only, so I think it's pretty cool. Yet when I search eBay with the words Yukon Men, it doesn't come up. I checked the first 250 items, then got frustrated and stopped. The category is entertainment memorabilia, television memorabilia, merchandise and promotional, apparel, and hats. The name of this item is Yukon Men Discovery TV Show Cast and Collectible Cap Rare New. It's odd and disconcerting that a search would not show my item since it is the only one that actually has the words Yukon Men in an item name. What am I doing wrong, or is this just a glitch in the search function? Thank you in advance for your suggestions or explanation. Amy G.
Well, Good question, Amy. Thank you for sending it in to sellingonebay@ebay.com.
I don't think we can plug that enough.
sellingonebay@ebay.com. And the first thing I would like to point out is that if you were looking for the listing immediately after you listed it, and this is a common thing that sellers will do, it can take from an hour to several hours for a new listing to appear in search results. My advice in that situation is just to wait, you know, wait a few hours and then check it again and it should show up. But there's also another way, because there's something in your message that a little light bulb went on in my head. And that's when you said, I checked the first 250 items, then got frustrated and stopped. So when I typed in Yukon men and just didn't filter it at all, there were thousands and thousands of listings returned. And yes, that can get really tiring. So that's not how you want to search for your item. What you want to do is give yourself a little leeway here. And the best way to do that is to take the entire item title, not just the words like that you used, Yukon men. Take the entire title, put it into the search box, and then search. And your item should appear. If it's been indexed, you've listed it and it's had some time to get picked up by the search engine, it's in the system, then you should find just one item. Now start removing words and see how many other items show up and where your item shows up in that sort. If you're not seeing it in a best match sort, which is for most viewers of eBay the default, change it to newly listed and yours should come up towards the top. I guarantee you'll find it. It's very rare that an item actually goes missing on eBay. It's not that it hasn't happened. It has, in my experience, it does happen, but it's an extremely rare occurrence. And most likely what happens is, in my experience, answering this question, is that a seller has used the wrong keywords, or if they're savvy enough and they know they're the right keywords, they're not actually searching through the entire list, or they're not utilizing some of the tools to cut out some of the unwanted listings so they can find theirs a lot faster. So that's the exercise. Start with the entire title and then start removing keywords and you'll see where your listing is showing up.
Another thing that I might recommend here, because I actually read this email and then went and searched for her stuff.
Yes, yes.
Is she never uses the word hat in her title.
Well, that would be a good thing. Or hat or cap. Yeah.
She uses cap. And frankly, for whatever reason, I am not a purchaser or wearer of baseball caps. So I actually don't use the word cap. I think of a baseball cap as a hat.
Yeah.
Right? Just because that's not my thing. But if I was going to buy one for my husband or my son, I would use the word baseball hat. Well, and I know that's not right, but that's how I think as a buyer.
And you have to think like a buyer. And her title has some words in it that are not necessary. So she says, Yukon Men, Discovery TV show cast, and collectible cap. No one's going to search on collectible. They're just not going to do it. That's a full word that you can get rid of and free up for other words like hat. If you want to keep the word collectible for any reason, there's definitely a word in here you can get rid of because no one searches on it for sure. Do you know which one it is?
Show.
No, they might use that if they're looking for discovery.
And.
Well, you can get rid of and. Okay. There's another one. See if you can pick it out.
Oh, geez. Now you're putting me on the spot.
Right. I'll have my steak.
Rare.
Yeah. Don't use the word rare in a title.
That's editorial.
It's editorial. And we know we have the data. No one searches on that word. You're using up four character spaces in the title for a useless word.
Amy, this might be helpful to you. When I sell my used clothing, which I do.
Yes, you do.
I sell.
I bought some of it.
You did? Was that weird order I got the other day?
Let's just keep going.
Okay. Anyway, so when I sell a shirt, a used shirt, I use the word shirt, blouse, top. I want to cover all my bases when it comes to that category.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Something that you wear from the shoulders to the waist.
Right, because someone might say they're going to search for blouse, and if your title didn't have that word in it, it's not going to show up.
Exactly. So you kind of want to cover all your bases. And in this case, you might want to use the word hat and cap.
Right. I think that's a very, very good advice.
Okay. Anything else on this, Griff?
No, I think we covered it. I wonder what Amy thinks.
Though. I hope, Amy, we hope you found this helpful and let us know by emailing us at sellingonebay@ebay.com. Okay, I think we've beat that horse today.
By the way, if you don't want to email us, you can call us at 888-723-4630. Just dial the number 888-723-4630 and follow the prompts to leave your question or your details. And if selected, we'll put your question on the air.
There we go.
Yeah.
Coming up next, it's what we in the inside call the outro.
Oh, there you go. Just like last week. You're giving away all our podcast secrets.
No, they're not that. They're not that special.
I know, but it is what you do best. Let's go to the end of the show.
Okie dokie.
And that's our show for this week. If your time really is money, then we hope and trust You are just a little bit richer after listening to this episode.
Where do I pick up my check?
Oh, come on, Audrey. Knowledge is power. If you're a little bit smarter now than you were an hour ago, then you have more power to make your business more successful, and you can write yourself a check.
Oh, I see how that works. Mm. It's great. I love it.
It's not a cackle.
I know.
There you go. That's the cackle.
Got it.
So what's on deck for next week's episode of Selling on eBay?
The theme for next week's show is income tax planning. And I promise that it's not as boring as it sounds.
I should hope not. It's a subject that otherwise can strike fear and dread into the faint-hearted seller.
You have nothing to fear or dread about taxes if you've planned for them correctly.
And who's going to help us do that?
Well, we have a special guest CPA to talk specifically about tax planning. And we'll talk with a member of the eBay merchandising team about the importance and impact of tax refund spending by eBay buyers.
Yeah. They're going to get their tax refunds, and a lot of them are going to spend them on eBay. So you got to be prepared for that.
Yep. It's actually a big buying season.
Yeah. It's never too early to plan for that tax season.
Hey, Griff.
What?
Tell the folks about our hotline.
Oh, yes, of course. If you want to join the fun here on Selling on eBay, you can be a part of the show when you call us at 888-723-4630.
That's right. Call us at 888-723-4630. You can call that hotline any time of day, any day of the week. Leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air. And for those shy persons who are deathly afraid of hearing their own voice on the air, not to worry. We have our very own email address that we've mentioned 47,000 times.
Yeah.
Where you can send your questions. It's sellingonebay@ebay.com.
Now, Audrey, what is that email address again?
One more time for the folks in the back. It's sellingonebay@ebay.com.
Hey, are you lonely?
Are you asking me?
Do you crave human contact?
No.
Are you going stir crazy, cooped up in your cottage, buried under 5 feet of snow and chilled to absurdly cold minus 20 degrees or lower temperatures?
No.
Well, you live in California, but lots of our audience don't, and they're cold and they're lonely and they're all holed up in their little cottages. So don't despair. Start the old station wagon, give her an hour to warm up, and make your way to the local eBay seller meetup in your area. At seller meetups, sellers share tips, stories, insights, sourcing secrets, and even a little commiseration. You can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page. That's every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific time. And go to facebook.com/ebayforbusiness.
And that's our show for this week.
We present the eBay podcast team. Director of Community, Brian Burke.
Community Manager, Alan Aisbit.
Community Manager and Technology and News Editor, Doug Smith.
Marketing Strategist, Liz Austin.
Editor-in-Chief and Co-host, that's you, Griff.
Scriptwriter and Co-host and all-around top girl, that's you, Audrey Tracy.
Well, I try. We hope you're now sufficiently inspired to start valuing your time and implementing efficiency upgrades to all your business practices. As we mentioned, time is money. How you value and structure your time can make the difference between a stagnant and growing business.
Download and listen every week to the Selling on eBay podcast for the leg up your business on eBay needs to compete and prosper in the coming year. Selling on eBay is produced and distributed by Podcast 411 and Libsyn.
Way to ad lib. Good job.
It's just a sentence.
You said podcast.
Podcast?
Be from Boston with the podcast.
And make it smile.
Put on your blanca.
Your blanca. You drink out of a bubbler. And when you're changing the channels on the TV, what's that thing?
Clicka.
It's the clicka.
What about park in the car?
That's a mistake. That's an old cliche. You get rich enough, you have someone else park your car at the valet.
Oh, very nice.
See, that's what you do.
Yes.